for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, July the 4th, 2009. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on A River is Coming.
I just feel like the Lord is saying this morning that it's time for us more than ever to jump into Him who is our river. And it is time for us to not go by what we see with our eyes or what we know traditionally. It's time for us to hear the voice of God for ourselves. Because things are not what they seem to be. They are not what they appear to be. And His Word commands us to pray for those that are in authority over us. And it's hard when you don't agree with those that are in authority over you. But it's time to pray for laborers. It's time for God to reveal Himself to leaders that may not seem what you want them to be. But we can't give up for praying. God has called us to pray. And it's time for us not to speak curses, but to start calling forth life in Christ Jesus into our leaders and into our nation, calling back that which has died and which has fallen by the wayside. He wants us, His people. He said, prophesy. Prophesy to these dead bones and call forth the breath that they may live again, these that are slain. So it's time for His people. It is so easy to see something that we disagree with and say, and start judging. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to start calling forth life, His life, into those that cross our paths and those that He lays on our hearts. They're not laid on your heart at 3 o'clock in the morning by accident. He's waking His people up and saying, pray. It's an hour for prayer. So jump in the river and be refreshed.
You got your Bibles? This way this morning. Do you have your Bibles? This is camp meeting. You better be listening up. God's got a word for you. You believe God's got a word for you? If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Psalms 46. I was amazed that, and not surprised, how God always confirms. It's been the way He's always operated in my life, confirmed what He's going to have me minister on. When the lady said, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Say it with me, be still and know that I'm God. If you're not still, you can't know. Isn't that deep? I want to minister this morning on something that the Lord had laid upon my heart. We all have different giftings and talents in the body of Christ. If you please, I'm a updated version of John the Baptist. And a whole lot better looking. And to prove it, there's my sister over there from Memphis. Took my picture, and I'm the only guy in camp so far that's got a halo behind his head. And I thought, that ought to make me special. I want to minister to you this morning on the topic of A River is Coming. I believe that this next move of God is going to absolutely cover the earth. I can't tell you if we have 5 more years. I can't tell you if we have 10 more years. I can't even tell you if we have 5 more minutes. But I can tell you by the Spirit of God that we're running out of time as we know it. And we're going to live in eternity. Everybody say eternity. You have Psalms 46? All right. Use your other hand and go to Ezekiel 47. Let's read Psalms 46 together. Would you stand to your feet? Read it with a little tenacity. Not God is my refuge and God is my strength. We've all had breakfast. So bind your stomach from growling. Amen? Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Stop. Go back. Verse 5. God is in the midst of what? Her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, there's a river. Turn with me to Genesis 2, and you may be seated. We thank General Glenn for having us over. Camp Meeting 2009. We believe the Lord gave us a word for 2009, that He will refine what is mine in 2009. Can I give you a little nugget before I get started? If you'll go back and study the principles of Nehemiah's time, when God sent him and all that was left was rubbish and, you know, decayed, things that had fallen apart, the walls were collapsed, wall speaks of people. In Nehemiah chapter 2, there's named there 9 gates. And God, the Holy Ghost, began to show us that He was going to take us to every gate this year. And in every gate, He was going to develop 2 things in us. One of the fruits of the Spirit and one of the gifts of the Spirit. And when you get this thing down in detail, when you get down to the ninth gate, you get to the east gate. And the east gate is really a good gate because there God's going to develop a gift and He's going to develop character in you. And the gift that God is going to revitalize in the body of Christ is discerning of spirits and interpretation of dreams. How many of you have been given more to dreams lately than you've ever been in your whole life? Come on, let me see your hands. I have been having many dreams lately, and they're all about rivers. And one of the last dreams I had was very vivid about a river with an old high school buddy that we never did hee-haw together. You understand what I'm saying? And his car ran into this river, and he was driving, and it turned into an amphibian. And all of a sudden, the peace of God came upon me. He says, don't worry about it, son. I've got it all under control. But there's people that's going to get into this river that's going to find out that there are the waters of the sanctuary in Ezekiel or the waters that are in you. And there is a people that God is going to send you to begin to restore humanity back to God. Oh, I'm preaching better than you want to shout. But in Genesis 2, everything begins in the seedbed. Everybody say seedbed. Genesis 2, I'm reading from the King James Version, verse 11. The name of the first is Pison, that which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Belgium, and there's Onyxstone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goeth towards the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. 20-something years ago now, the Lord showed us that the next move of God was going to start at the foot of New Orleans. How many of you know that New Orleans needs revival? Not because I'm from the South. And your state and your communities need revival. And this thing is going to shoot up like an artesian well and go straight up into Canada, and then it's going to just shoot branches. And God is going to absolutely, positively, unequivocally cover the earth. Because this river that's coming, no man's going to take credit for it. No church marquee is going to take the credit for it. Nobody's pedigree is going to take the credit for it, because the river of God that is coming already is here. It begins in you. It begins in you. So let's go, just for descriptive purposes, four is the number of creation. Pison means to increase. This river is going to bring some increase. Say, I could use just a little increase. I could use just a little bit of help from the Lord. Hallelujah. Do we have an organist here? A real camp meeting organist? I'm believing God every time I come. I'm going to get an organist so we can have camp meeting. Because sometimes I feel a little, hey. I'm sorry, I'm not your silent type preacher. And I'm not a lecturer. I'm a preacher saved by faith. I'm loaded. Havilah means circle. In this movement God's going to be doing, God is going to bring some of you back full circle. I'm talking to you because some of you have been running from God long enough. You've tried every ministry in town and you're still not happy where you are. It's already quiet. I give him the thumb. He said amen. They're not even listening. And then the next river, when it split, this was one river and it split four ways. Gihon means bursting forth. Talking of a people of Ethiopia, Cush, black, ignorance has no excuse in the body of Christ anymore. You can find the Bible on every mechanism that has been invented in the United States of America. Yesterday I was amazed because I thought Brother Glenn had told me I was going to minister yesterday morning. So I lost my pen and I picked up a pen from the back and hit the scripture pen. And first thing he said, be still and know that I'm God. I said, I just got my confirmation. How many of you that God's speaking to you through creation if you're looking? How many of you know that you don't have to have a man or woman of God get up here and say to you, thus saith the Lord? But how many of you know that that's okay if you have to have a thus saith the Lord to confirm what you were supposed to already know? And I want to tell you, coming full circle, Brother Tom, is not easy. How many of you know what I mean when I say coming full circle? You've got to come go completely around. That's French and a little bit of Greek and just a little touch of Hebraic. Cajun. I got it from my Cajun commentary. Brother Carroll likes that. Then Hiddekel means rapids. Rapid. It's simply defined as a step or in step in your step. That God, through rapid transition, is going to point you in the right direction. All right. When you think you've got your theology all put together, and your methodology working for you, and you've crossed all your T's, and you've dotted all of your I's, God will spin you around and point you in another direction. And it will not be the direction that you convinced yourself you needed to be going. Because it's by the Spirit of God, not by intellect and not by intuition. It's by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Say it with me. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. In this move, you're going to have to give God total control. We've been jitterbugging with God. How many old jitterbuggers we got in here? Come on, don't be ashamed. You're as lost as I was. And so jitterbugging, you know, you can keep it out of distance. You know, you move and kick it and you spin them around. But when you slow dance with God, you got to get close. You got to get off the porch and get into the pass. It's time for us to quit preaching from the front porch of the house. It's time for us to go and find out what's in the Holy of Holies. It's time for us to rise up as a third day people and find out that we can move in the Spirit and the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. It's time for us to rise up. Don't give me some of that old time religion. It ain't good enough for me. It's all right. Say it's all right. No, say it's all right. It's all right, but it's not all right. Because, see, it brings us back into the same old mentality of we're just not good enough. We haven't arrived yet. The mentality that tells you, I don't know if I can take this mountain.
two of them came back with a good report, didn't they, brother? One of them was a Cajun. He said, I think we can take this thing. Boudreaux and Thibodeau said, I believe we're going to carry that cluster of grape and bring it over to Mama's house and share it with the folks. Have us a festival. You know, in Louisiana, we find every excuse under the world to have a new kind of festival. I mean, we got a festival for a dog, a festival for a cat, a festival for the fish, a festival for shrimp. We got a festival for this. We got a festival for a buggy. We got a festival for a horse. We got a festival for potatoes. We got a festival for everything. Festivals are good. It's for festivity. It's for joy and celebration and having a great time in the Lord. But I don't know about you, but I'm tired of front porch religion. I'm tired of just standing on the porch and watching the years go by. I want to get into the palace. I want to get to where the Song of Solomon said. I want to pass the door chamber and I want to go and see where my beloved is. When you see him, you'll know him because you look just like him. Y'all shouldn't have talked so long. You took my time. I only got 45 minutes left. Now, with the concept of four, I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. We're going to use fours. I want to try to depict for you the type of mentality of people that God is going to use in this move. And many of them won't even have a degree. But most of them will have a, you know, BA degree, born again. And most of you should have a PhD. Praise Him daily. Praise Him daily. PhD, not TH, PH. Smile at your neighbor and says, thank God I'm not the one up there preaching. Come on, look at you and say, thank God I'm not the one up there preaching. Because if you could see you from where I'm looking at, you need help. I'm being nice. I am really a nice guy. You just don't know it. Let me read a verse of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. John 7. You may just jot this down in your note. Verse 38 kind of tells a little bit about where we're going to go this morning. Jesus said this. It's written in red. It says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now I want you to put your hands on your belly. Take a deep breath. And blow. And say, river, flow. You just gave God permission to operate in you. Now, Ezekiel 47. Let's pick up the story. In verse 1 it says, that afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. What position was it? Eastward. And which direction is the Lord coming back from? For the forefront of the house stood towards the east. East speaks of the beginning of a new day, a new hour, a new teaching, a new revelation. And the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. South generally speaks of refreshing. Look at your neighbor and says, I'm ready for refreshing. I could use a double portion of refreshing right now. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward. North speaks of a place of judgment. And God will give you direction, but it speaks of a place where God is going to bring forth real praise and worship, true worshipers. If you understand tabernacle at all, you'll understand from the north gate. He will produce himself. He will have himself. And I heard some of you quote this, and I'm not trying to correct you, but the Bible said he will present himself. Who's he? Jesus. Jesus will present himself, our church, without spot or blemish. Is that right? Now, for us to attain this, we're going to have to get washed. Our spirits have been made clean, but our soul needs a little help. Say, my soul needs a little bit of help. Why did David speak to his soul? He said, soul, I don't care what you're thinking. We're going to praise the Lord. David never spoke of having problems with his spirit. Only had problems in his soul. This little thing that keeps time in the mind and the will and the emotions of men. And ladies, if I don't say women, I included you. There's only one gender in God. We're all sons.
And look at this. He said, and he led me about the way without the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters out of the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. Can I tell you, there's coming a time in your life, 1,000 prophetically speaks of maturity. There's coming a time in your line, in your geniality. There's coming a time in your area of perspective, in your area of where you're living, that God is going to bring some maturity in your life. We cannot remain infants or adolescents and expect to take the kingdom. We're going to have to grow up. Look at your neighbor. It's about time you grow up. Say it with some tenacity. Grow up! Because you see, infants are not going to get in the river. Adolescents are not going to get in the river unless mommy and daddy has trained them to learn how to walk by the Spirit. Can I remind you of the early revivals in the 1900s in China when there was a man named Watchman Nee who went and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't have a text machine. He didn't have an iPod. He didn't have a computer. He didn't have a satellite. All he had was the Holy Ghost. And when they were to meet, somebody would prophesy when, where, and how long. And when the enemy came, somebody would prophesy in the midst of the congregation, say, the enemy's coming. And they would scatter. What if we lost all of our technology? You could find yourself trying to go upriver against the current instead of flowing with what God wants. I think we're going to have to get back to knee-bone praying. I think we're going to have to reopen our altars and let folks come back and pray. All that stuff worked. We just got too wise. Somebody told us we didn't need that anymore. Guess who? Guess whose bright idea it was to have all these different denominations? The God of this world. Remember, Leviathan's out to get you. And he's active in the river now. You're not getting in the river in a safe raft. It's just you and God. So you and God. I don't want to run out of time. Let's move on. Notice in this passage, 1,000 means of maturity, but the first type of people you run across was ankle people. I call them praisers and shouters. If you just got born again, you're just up to your ankles in this. And you know, you can go down to the beach and just walk up your ankle deep and there's not a problem. Hallelujah. You can praise the Lord and then glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. He called up about Sandor. Or you can just have a great time in the Lord and all of a sudden the water will begin to rise up in your knees and God is calling for a bunch of intercessors to rise up in this hour in 2009 that have been refined by the fire and the power of God to begin to pray with a mantle like nobody has ever seen. They don't have to be recognized. They don't need a special plaque on the wall. They're just praying at the midnight hour. You got somebody praying in the Holy Ghost for you because it's up to your knees, man. I'm up to my knees in this. I can't run like I used to run. When I was up to my ankles, it was easy. But now the load is getting heavy, Brother Carroll. I'm up to my knees in this stuff. And all of a sudden, he said, you got to gird up your loins. This is about waist high. But Peter said, you got to gird up the loins of your mind. But all of a sudden, I'm going to forget about the knee. I'm going to forget about the ankle. I'm going to dive in and let God be God. He's the only one can take me down the river. He's Shololobakai. Now that was interesting enough. There's a river coming. In verse 6, let's pick it up there. Verse 5 said, and afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could not pass over. For the waters were risen. The word had risen in you. Waters to swim in. Word you can stand on. And a river that could not be passed over. You're not going to get ahead of God. He's in charge. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Church, what are we seeing? Whatever you're seeing is what's leading you where you're going. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. These are people who have the waters of humanity living inside of them. How many of you know it's okay if you just have a brink ministry? Not everybody is going to get to stir the ship.
It's okay to be at the brink. It's okay to be at the edge. Because when you're at the edge of your situation, it's where God does His best work. You can't get beyond until God has done a work inside of you. Somebody say amen. Because at the brink, you can catch fish from the shores. Well, God, all I'm catching is little minnows and little perches. We'll catch the minnow and the perch. And be aware of the day will come when God will bring you full circle and He will launch you into the deep for a great catch. But you can't have a great catch till you start with the little stuff. I'm preaching better than you want to shout this morning. Somebody help me just a little bit. I got so much I want to say and so little time to do it. Hallelujah. Brink fishing is good. It brings you up to the ankle. And it's directional waters for you. Because it was pointing in the direction of east. I have to talk fast now. Because sometimes we need to go to the desert and the dry places to find out what the needs really are. We're not finding out what needs are sitting on our blessed assurance. But when we get out where they are, somebody got out where I was. Somebody took time to come and find me. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, say directional waters are good. They take you to the desert and to the sea where a multitude of people are getting healed. Then there's living and moving waters. There's going to come in a time when this river begins to sweep over to our land that we're going to leave doctrinal differences. Well, I didn't get no whole lot of amen on that one. We want our little pet peeve doctrines and we want to prove to everybody that we're clerically right. But your doctrine may not be flowing where God's flowing. Because life, as far as I remember it, still produces life. And this river of people and the humanity, right here on the brink of the river, is simply another people that's going to bring in a harvest of souls. May I remind you that Proverbs 11:30 still remains the same. He that winneth souls is wise. If you are fishermen of God, don't show up at the gates of God with nothing on your string. Don't give God an excuse that you couldn't find a worm. Or you didn't have the right kind of bait. Or you didn't fish in the right kind of river. Or you didn't have time. You got up too late while the boys went ahead of you. When you and I get to the gates of God, we're going to have to give an account for what we did. Not what the church did. Not what the presbytery did. Not what the members of the body of Christ did. What did you do for the kingdom? To enhance the kingdom? I'm afraid with fear and trembling that we're going to have to go back to basic Bible training. Yes, it's good to get in the prophetic. Yes, it's good to get in the apostolic. But there's going to be such an onslaught of harvest coming into. We're going to have to go back and teach these people the basics. And hope to God that we have trained enough men and women to help us. So you won't allow yourself to get into this place of weariness. Where it will wipe you out. The Bible says in verse 8 that these waters issued out towards the east country. Read along with me in verse 8. Now verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, notice this, everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish. About to say fish. Fish means souls. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. You won't have to go to a healing seminar. When you get in the flow, and you allow this river of God to flow in you, He will heal you. He has already promised. He has already commanded healing. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. Wherever the river is, it's going to have Zoe. It's going to have life. I'm not talking about stagnant waters. I'm not talking about doctrinal indifferences. When the Spirit of God has liberty in you, ye will have life. Verse 10 says, and it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi. Everybody say, Engedi. There is a fountain of joy. Oh, after you have labored. There's going to be a joy swelling up in your spirit that no man and no devil can put out. Because you're going to have joy like a river. Nehemiah did not share his revelation with the men till it was due time for him to share it. Because they could not hear him. Because they weren't standing where Nehemiah was standing.
I believe in this move, God is going to restore integrity back to the pastoral office. And not only that, He's going to, as we talked about, this onslaught to try to attempt or mute the voice of God. If you want to hear that, get that on the other tape. That the apostles and prophets are going to come into the church for the first time in the 21st century church, and they're going to set the church in order because they're going to be working with the pastor. The pastor is the one married to Jesus. That's the married finger. They're going to be able to govern and guard what God has given to them.
No, we don't talk about them. Those idiots, we don't even give them time. I know you weren't here. I talked about it. We're not talking about self-proclaimed apostles and self-proclaimed prophets.
That's right. Amen.
People who have proven, who have marks of a good soldier. They have scars.
Yes, yes, yes.
We were reminiscing at the table this morning about war times. And you just help me if I got a little emotion. Some of my buddies didn't make it back. But thank be to God, I made it back. It was in that time, in that trauma, Brother John, in that place in Southeast Asia, in that pitfall of darkness, that God, by the Holy Ghost, grabbed the heart of my heart. And it was just a little while right after that, when I came back to the good old U.S. of A., He captivated me. He arrested me for Himself. And He put me to a good work. To the kingdom of God.
That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
There was a roof going on in there. We had a Holy Ghost chapel, and I couldn't get in the tent. And it made me mad every night. There's some big ox, two of them, they were big demons. They grabbed me by the back and hold me back, and the flap of the tent would just go plop, 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 plop. And that bull, bro, I could hear that guy going, shura, ba, 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 sute, baby. I said, what in the world is he talking? But see, it was not the magnet. God was trying to pull me to Himself. But I took what I knew, Brother Carroll. I was a good Catholic. I prayed the Our Father. Yeah, as good as they can get. I was real religious. My mama taught me. I knew how to follow all the rules. But I never told all the truth. Anyway, that's another message. Not only is this place stand upon from Engedi, even unto Eneglim. Eneglim is an interesting place. It's the eye of the chariot, where the Spirit of God will begin to allow you to see things that you have never seen before. But when you're in that flow, the Bible says your eyes will be enlightened. You could look at this terrain 1,000 times over, and you saw the same thing, the same increments, the same situation, the same status. But all of a sudden, your eyes open. And now, we used to sing this old secular song. I can see clearly now, the day is dawn. And the Holy Ghost just rises up on the inside of you. And He says, son, what do you see? And you go, I lost all contact with my French and English grammar. And He says, what do you have? I'm a sovereign. And He said, now prophesy. You see, if you've got the real deal, you don't have to spend a whole lot of time testing the waters. But see, if you're still a little religiously minded, you'll question everything that moves. But when you know God, you can see Him, you can watch Him, you can hear Him. And so, He will at times bring you to these full circles. The second types of people are water, if you please, if you'll go to verse 10. And we read part of that, but the part B of that, it says, there, and it says, shall be a place to spread forth nets. Everybody see that? In this move, if you please, of this river of God, there's going to be waters of opportunity. Say, waters of opportunity. These are for the knee people, those that at the beginning of this passage, that the water has come up to their knees. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the Spirit make it intercession for us. And we don't always know how to pray, but it comes with groanings. I've been in church circles. Can I tell you, in 1980, God gave us, this little country boy, a revelation and a vision of the next tidal wave that would hit the coast of Pensacola, Florida. As we know, it was the Brownsville Revival. I preached it in a little old town in Mississippi, Crystal Springs, Mississippi. Anybody from Mississippi? It's tomato capital of the world. You say tomato, I say tomato. It's the tomato capital of the world. One caution light, one merchandise store. God says, go. I said, what? I said, I don't even know what this means.
So we went. I got up that morning, and I, of course, you know, Reverend, I said, "Brother, I'd like for you to tape this message. It's from God." And got ready to preach in the PA system called on flower. The sister came up to play the piano, and she fell out in the spirit. Ba-goom. My wife is sitting on the front row, and I'm going, I said, "The Lord sent me here to tell you about the next spiritual tidal wave that's going to hit America. You listen up right now." And it happened. The church went, boom, out. I said, "I only have 3 points." Boom, out. And then somebody fell out of the pew, and all I heard, Brother Cal, was, oh. I said, "Dear Jesus, they got demons." Now I don't know what to do, Brother Jim. Well, I hunker back, good preacher and teacher of faith. My God, I had been in Bible college. I was groomed from A to Z, and I was prepared. I have the articles of God and the Ecclesiastical, the preacher. I was trying to think of the preacher. Sometimes I get a little tongue-tied. And I said, "Dear Jesus, did I do something wrong?" And my wife is just looking at me like, "Well, we had a lunch break. We went out for eat, went to the parsonage, and I couldn't lay down and sleep, and my name was sleep. I felt the Holy Ghost all over me. Got up there at 6 o'clock service, make a long story short. Did the same thing, Brother Carol, and they did identical same thing." I said, "They've been practicing this." "Huh? I know what it is. They can't understand my language. I'm not crossing my T's or dotting my I's. I'm not using proper grammar. That's what it is. I need to brush up." Well, 2.5 hours back drive, I'm holding my honey's hand, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. I said, "Can you possibly tell me what happened?" She says, "I'll tell you this. I didn't know who the heck you were." She said, "You look like you were in some kind of globe." She said, "You've never spoken with such clarity. I had no idea who you were. You've never talked about these subjects." She said, "And it was a coming out of your belly. We're into something." 1980. 6 months after the Brownsville revival had started, we had a phone call from someone from the administration that we knew in years past. He says, "You need to come here and see this." So I did. Make a long story short, the old prophet got up and prophesied that the year that God gave us the revelation, that Dr. Cho had come to America and put his finger on that point of contact where the next move of God was going to be. And the old prophet, I forget his name, that was there the day we prophesied, I went and I told the brother, I said, "Brother Steve, I want the real deal, brother. Lay hands on me." He did, and I went under, and I tried to get up, and God said, "Don't get up." Make a long story even shorter, went home, and I said, "Well, what was all that about?" He said, "20 years ago, I couldn't allow you to understand that. You weren't mature enough. But because you allowed me to use your mouth and your voice, I sounded an alarm into the country." So if you think you have to have 5 or 6 years of Bible training to be able to be used by God, think again. God uses, look at your neighbor, say, God uses ordinary people just like you. Okay, we got some areas to cover. Come on. All right. So we know that in this waters of opportunity, you're going to experience humility, and then you're going to experience intercession that is going to begin to happen in you. And he says that in a place to spread forth net. And there's going to come a place, like in Matthew 4:21, when James and John had put up their nets on the side. In this river, God is going to raise up some real mending ministries. I mean, no, Brother Jim, I can't catch a whole lot of fish if all I got is big holes in the net. And if the pastor's doing the work of the ministry, then the Ephesians 4:12 folks are going to have to rise up and start mending nets. Because he's out doing the work of the ministry which God has anointed him to do. Instead of the pastor being the latrine superintendent, the church orderly, you know, do everything in the building while you sit down and enjoy lunch. We're going to learn how to work together. I'm not above you, and you're not above me. We're in this together. The song says, "Bind us together, not separate us." Because we know that rivers bring streams and streams bring divisions. And sometimes God's got to separate you just for a little while. He said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas, if you're here, I'm looking for you. I got a prophetic word not too long ago that Barnabas was on my heels. I said, come on, boy. Let me slow down. You catch up with me. Because some of you, the only way you're going to get to ever be known in society and in the ministry, that you're going to have a Barnabas that will come and discover you.
That's right.
See, Barnabas had a great ministry, but he preferred Paul.
Yes.
I tell you, if we had a service today and found out who we prefer, we'd have to have some massive deliverance, including me. Because we don't like to give somebody else. But I'm learning. I'm a whole lot better now than when I first got started. But it didn't come without breaking. It didn't come without God mending my net sometimes. It didn't come without restoration. And then there's some catcher's ministry. There's folks that are going to catch these fish. Are you with me? And look at what it says. And their fish shall be according to what? Their kind. You're going to get to ministers of folks that y'all are going to be like kind. One mind, one spirit, one faith, one Lord. Well, brother, I've been baptized in Acts 2:38. When I said, why don't you go to Matthew and get the whole thing? Get the Father, get the Son, and get the Holy Ghost while you have it. You won't have any divisions over baptism. Well, I was in the river, but we are the first church of the baptism. Who wants to be first? I know I'm meddling. Let me move on. Say this with me. The doors of opportunity are clearly marked. Push and pull. Sometimes we push when we ought to be pulling, and sometimes we're pulling when we ought to be pushing. Are you with me? And so there has to be fish of same kind, same vision. God's got you in the church, and the pastor has a vision. Obviously, get behind the vision and learn how to flow in the river. If you're just up to your ankles, hang in there, brother. You'll get up to your knees. And before you know it, it'll be over your head. Somebody asked me, said, Pastor, how do I know when I'm going to be in the ministry? You're going to be in it and you won't even know it. Thank God for Bible colleges, but it gives you some information. But the degree is tied at the end of your name doesn't give you an anointing. Great sea, great multitude, exceeding many. The river of God continuously floating, wanting to reach all of humanity. God's not interested in just a few and no more. All of the churches in America that are preaching the gospel and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ should be filled to capacity. If the Ephesians 4:12 people, the members of the body of Christ that have been equipped with the same equipment, will go out and do the work. I made a few folks mad in my church. I said, you didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. You pastors, you need backbone, not wishbone. You tell your folks, you didn't hire me, and you can't fire me.
Amen.
I'm still going to say what God said. All right, we've got 15 minutes to get this done. Hallelujah. Waters of freedom. Verse 11. Look quickly. But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. You see that? But the miry and marishes places shall not be healed. To obtain freedom in this river, you must leave to cleave. Leave to cleave. You have to stick with it. Whatever happened in our church society, the good old stickability. If God started something in you, you can rest assured. In Philippians 1 says, He will complete it. Isn't that right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Myers are swampy and they're man-made work of frailty. They're man-made doctrines. Perhaps you're involved in a man-made doctrine and you need to get out. That means you have a poor foundation. So when you're praying, if you see a crack in your foundation, get out. You can't get it repaired. Marishes are a pool of water. They're stagnant. They're dead. There's no life. It's just good old dead religion. Can you say good old dead religion?
Good and dead.
This is why we need revival. God don't revive anything that's alive. He revives what's dead. Then the waters that are in you. This is the new fruit company. These are the people that are going to be getting to develop. Because if you remember the river of God, there's trees on either side. There's trees of life. There's plenty of fruit being developed in this river. Because now when the river is over you, you're no longer in control. You have become totally surrendered to God. Go back to Psalms 46. We're going to conclude. My first conclusion, Brother Carol. So we're going to have to see if God is our refuge, God is going to restore confidence to the believers. You believe He can do this? He's going to restore the privileges of the church like the rivers of Eden. He will remind you that He is the host that is within us. Say, He's the host. And I don't have time to get into the history of the feeble Jews and what was going on, but I want to remind you that Proverbs 18:10 said that He is, the name of the Lord is a righteous that runneth into it, and He is a strong tower. Say, He's a strong tower. Then one of the verses says, behold the works of the Lord. Then He says, be still and know that I am God. Can I give you just a few things of what I think is going to take place in this move of God? And these are my opinions that I believe I've got from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Number one, God is looking for a willing and obedient people. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the what? The what? The fruit of the land. Willing means desires have to become God's desires. Obedient, simply. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. Get this revelation from learn. When you're learning something, God's observing you. Well, maybe He could do it. Or maybe she could do it. He's watching the fruits of righteousness being developed inside of you. And nobody can stop you from rising to the occasion. Because see, He's sown the seeds in you, and you have watered it. Isn't it interesting about flesh, how we keep it alive? We water it, Brother Jim, and we feed it every day. And what happens to it? It lives. What if we were to feed our spirit man in the same capacity? It would live. Isaiah 1:7, I'm paraphrasing, God, the country was desolate in this time. There is some desolation in our country. There are some dry times in our country. And we know that the calm is before the storm. Don't be fooled, people. But God has a river. And the river is going to move. It has a clear flow through it. It's going to remove every debris. It's going to remove every driftwood. It's going to remove every hidden log that's undercurrent that you can't see. All the hindrances are going to be moved. So, you know, I could take you to Isaiah 35 and tell you, there's a highway of holiness. No lions and no ravenous beasts are there. It's a highway that you're going to be walk in the Holy Ghost. Am I helping you? Secondly, rivers begin with rain. Psalms 1 and 3 says, we're like trees planted by rivers. Come on. The church has to be planted by the rivers. It brings forth its fruit in its season. Your leaf shall not wither. You will prosper during your adversity. I said, you will prosper during your time of adversity. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. To advance in the kingdom, you have to get rid of self. No more self-motivation. The third thing I noticed God was speaking to me about in Psalm 74:15, you can jot this down. There are fountains in your wilderness time. What is wilderness anyway? Dry places. It's a place where God brings you into solitary confinement that you will know that He is and you will trust Him for every drink of water, every piece of bread you put in your mouth. He said, well, how do you know it? I've been there. A young lad asked an old prophet, he said, prophet, have you ever been broke before? He said, yeah, but I've never gotten broken up over it. He said, I've been broke. In this river, pastors, they won't starve you out. You'll have the abundance. You'll have the goods. And God's going to rekindle and refire the gifts of the Spirit back into the church because the gifts have become dormant. Because people who mean right will say, well, how do you know that was from God? Hey, did you read 1 Corinthians? That's why the prophets were in there. So they could judge whether the prophets were from God or not from God. I went to an apostolic and prophetic ministry, and this man came in and set up a table, not invited, and called himself a prophet, an apostle. Stood up before the old prophet and he said, I have a word from the Lord. He said, you do sit down, it'll hold. After the brother got through giving his little lecture, he said, now stand up. Here's the mic. You give that word, you said that you give it, but who can confirm that you are an apostle? He had two little Ringos with him. He said, we do, he's our apostle. I said, go ahead, give the word. He gave the word. After he got through giving the word, he called three of his prophets to stand up and tell me this man spoke by the Spirit of God or not. You, brother, you couldn't even take a breath. got quiet. Brother Jim, I think that some of them, their thoughts even scared them. They were shaking. And thank God, he got a word from God. He was shaking. And they told the brother, we love you and we embrace you, but unless you've been invited to this table, don't set up your table and don't send out books to people because you weren't even invited. You're out of order. Oh, to God we would have men that could stand up in our city and go to these places and say, brother, we love you, but you're out of order.
Well, who's going to go?
You. When you've allowed God to do the work in you. Some of us are going to end up in the market. Market profits. Well, that doesn't sound too impressive. May not. But it's still good. Rivers during your captivity. Psalms 137. Jot this down. Actually, we've got about 5 more minutes. Turn to Psalms 137. You might find yourself just in this place. The Bible says in Psalms 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. When we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. Don't prophesy anymore. Go to Judah and prophesy. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And here's what the people said. How shall we sing to the Lord's, sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know why they hung their harps? On the willows. The harps is a prophetic instrument where David played and delivered Saul from all his evil spirits while he was playing. It's a prophetic tone that's going through the land. It's the prophetic voice that's going through the land that the enemy is trying to mute. We can do it in church, but you mean do it at Walmart? You've got to be kidding me. Do it in our church? They don't believe that way. Well, what would cause us to want to quit singing just because we're not in a church building? The Lord never said, sing when you come to church on Sundays or on Wednesday nights. He says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all ye earth. But he didn't say, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. No. The Bible said Jesus comes to us out of the tribe of Judah with the roar of a lion. He says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Come on. Sing unto the Lord a new song. So when you're in a strange place, you can scare the hell out of the devil and say, sing unto the Lord of the earth. He goes, he's mad. Yeah, leave him alone. Sing unto the Lord. I walked up on the job site and said, well, how come you so happy on the Monday morning? Because I gave up my song of Blue Monday and I began to sing that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Yeah, Lord. So, rivers during your captivity. Are you singing? Are you murmuring? I wrote a little note in my papers that don't wait to prepare when the hurricanes come. Do it before it comes. Realize in Proverbs 21:1, the fifth thing I saw, that King Jesus controls this river. The Bible said that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turn it whithersoever he will. God's in control of the stream. This river will have the hiss. Everybody say, hiss of God in it. Hiss means a whistle, a pipe, a sound of a harp. You can find this in Matthew 14:34, when they talked about Gennesaret means the harp of God. Turn with me to Isaiah now real quick. Chapter 7. You're going to love this. It was a time when there was a lot of impending dangers from Assyria in the land of Israel. And how many of you know at the greatest moments of your trauma or great danger, Jehovah God is going to show up? The Bible said He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's the same all the time. So the rivers of God have a hiss of God in it. You have to be listening. Look at Isaiah 7:18. It says, "And it shall come to pass." What does that mean? It shall come to pass. It will happen. Shall is still a command. Are you with me? In what day? In that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that it is in the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the hand or the land of the Assyria. The word transcribed fly means he will ward off evil spirits by his fragrance. You know what fragrance, Brother Carroll, he uses? Cetronella. We kill flies with that. Or cetronella. But I've been in the service, help me, Brother Tom, where the anointing of God, I smelt it Wednesday morning in this service, that the holy fragrance of God came down and was descending from heaven. And I looked at my wife and said, "You smell that, honey?" She said, "Woo." I said, "He's here. Do you know your daddy's odor? Do you know his fragrance?" And it begins to permeate. We had outpouring for 2 years in our church, and the sweet fragrance would begin to develop. Then can you tell when the prophet's here? He's an odor of cinnamon. Drip. Drop. Utterance from heaven. Drip. Drop. And all of a sudden, you cannot contain it anymore. It is bubbling inside of you like somebody put a kettle, a fire under your kettle, and you want to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Because you haven't been trained, you think something's wrong with your belly. What did we read in John 7? Out of your bellies shall come rivers of living waters. Okay, I've got 2 minutes and they're not going to give me more time. That's the fly that's going to be killed through the prophetic. And the hiss of God, you have to be able to be in tune to what God is saying. But the bee is interesting. That means, like bees, to work to make honey is orderly. Everything God's going to do is going to be orderly. But you know the amazing thing about this move, Sister McGee? Man can't take the credit for it. The church can say, "We got it first in our church. Y'all want it, y'all come over here and get it." God is looking for people who are still hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Number 7, the river is designed to hide you in Him. Isaiah 32:2 says a hiding place. There is a hiding place in God. He will hide you by the brook Cherith like He did Elijah. He will prepare a place to withstand and a place to refine you, to melt you and to bring you through this trial that you can live under pressure and He can develop you. Because at this particular gate that you're going to be in, He's going to develop temperance and discerning of spirits. How many of you could use a little more temperance? Don't say out, say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know." Let me ask you this question in closing. What is He calling you to? Why are His words so piercing? His purpose is to slay you so you can allow Christ's anointing to reign in you. Somebody said the other night, "Kill you." It's a good word. 2 more thoughts and I'm done. The river is pure and not filled with mixture. Isaiah 33:21. This river is going to be so pure, it will not be filled with mixture. Just jot these down. I don't have time to expound. And the rivers will touch the high places and the barren places. This river will touch everything that has to do with humanity. And it will cover the globe. Some of the commentaries might be disappointed. Some of the editors may have to rewrite their script. Because God's doing a new thing. And He's looking for people, ordinary people, like you and like me. Stand to your feet. Look at your neighbor and say, "There's a river. And it's coming. You better get ready. You better get ready. You better get ready." Pray this prayer with me. Say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I open up my belly that You might fill it with rivers of living waters. Not rivers of stagnant waters, but rivers of living waters that man cannot infiltrate, cannot tamper with, cannot mix. In the name of Jesus, I submit myself to be open to whatever you want to do in my life. I want to be part of the River Company. I won't settle for less. I'm going to settle for the best. Because I'm marked for a miracle. Everybody say, I'm marked for a miracle. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now that you would bless this food, bless this fellowship. We thank you that you would take this word and hide it in our hearts and take us to your pavilion and embrace us and tell us of your great love for us, that not one jot, not one tittle shall fall to the ground, and your word shall not return to us void. And so, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory for everything that you do in our lives. Change us, mold us, pull us inside out, but use us for your glory. And the church said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you at 1:15.
This is the end of this message.